today we're going to continue our series on letters from Paul. Letters from Paul. We started the series, and the first part of the series, you remember us talking about how what really upset Paul. That Paul had a lot of things to say to the New Testament church, and he sent a series of letters to different parts of the regions where churches are being planted, and he wanted to make sure that ingrained in our New Testament doctrine were some things that we really needed to know. And there's some common things we've been looking at, some things that this in all of his letters you see these common things, common phrases, common words and places he was going. And we started off talking about how he was very adamant about protecting grace and how we are saved by grace. And don't allow anybody to come in. He said, I taught you that the grace of the cross sets us free, a salvation, that Jesus was the Messiah, and he's bringing forth a grace. And no longer are we bound to religious chains that say, you do this, and now you're free. He said, you just got to believe in Jesus as your Lord, and you receive the grace of the cross. And so this revival was happening. People are receiving the work of the cross. They're being set free by grace and no longer bound to religious activity that was trying to make them earn their salvation or earn God's love. Now he's saying it's freely given to us to receive. And shortly after that, it was the church that came along, the religious community said, okay, that may be true, but now that you've received grace, you've got to keep earning it every day. And you earn it by your religious duty, your religious things you do. And Paul said, all right, let me make it very clear that, you know, I don't care if I come back a year from now and tell you myself, I don't care if an angel of God shows up a year from now, don't believe it. The only way we receive freedom is through God's grace. The only way for us to receive the work of the cross that happens through the grace. And don't allow anybody to come in. Don't allow people to come in and steal away your joy of grace. Don't allow them to come in and try to make you earn it. Because once we start earning it, then our relationship with God goes up and down according to how good we've been. And we realize that what happened on the cross is not about me. My salvation is not about me. The work of grace is not about how good I was this week. It's all about what Jesus did on the cross. And I receive that freely, the grace. And I walk in that new freedom now that sets me free now to thrive in my relationship with God, to excel in my relationship with God. And that's why he said, grace excels you now. You can now keep in step with the Spirit. You can now be Spirit-led people, and you can be fruit of the Spirit people. Now that you've received God's grace, let it excel you into those things. Last week we talked about fighting. He had a lot of words to say about learning to fight. Fight the good fight and what things are worth fighting for. Now today, I'm going to talk to you about something, a relationship that Paul had, and you see it in a lot of his letters, about Paul and Timothy. Paul was very close to Timothy. Timothy was the man that he brought on, a young man that he brought and mentored with him, took on missionary journeys with him, spent a lot of time mentoring and spending time pouring into the life of Timothy. Now we see Paul also had another companion by the name of Silas. Remember, Paul and Silas were put in prison. But Paul and Silas didn't always gel. They didn't always see eye to eye. There even came a time like, all right, Silas, you go here, and I'm going this way. God bless you. Nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you just got to say, we're just going to agree, just disagree, and God bless you. You know, but keep doing it, man. I'm praying for you. I'm blessing you. Good things, man. Go for it. And he brought along Timothy with him, a young man that he knew at that time he could really invest in, and he could really mold and help train to passing on what he was learning to the next generation. And so today I want to talk to you about this relationship of Paul and Timothy. You know, as the CEO of MTV, how many remember MTV when actually it showed music videos? Anybody remember? Yeah, you would think MTV, what's MTV stand for? Music TV, right? Music TV. And back once upon a time, they had these things called music videos that played on TV. Now, I'm old enough to remember when music videos only came on Saturday nights on a 30-minute program. And then when MTV came along, it was like, oh, 24/7, music TV. It spoke to my generation because we were, at that time, all we had was the radio because we couldn't afford anything else. Okay, so we had radio. And, you know, then music television came along and helped us put a face to those songs and who was singing those bands. It was great. And I love what the CEO of MTV said once. He said, our mission They make a conscious effort to never grow old, but to stay relevant to every generation. And if you watch it, every generation, MTV evolves and turns into something else that's trying to reach that relevant generation. It used to be music videos, and it went from music videos to, they were the first ones to do this, a lot of the reality TV. They were doing the first ones, and then, you know, it just grows into other things. They're the first ones doing these shows, highlighting highlights on the internet and all these things. There's a lot of things happening, and now they don't even show music videos. You know, now they have something called YouTube, right? Yeah, right. So it kind of makes a full circle. But he said it very clearly. He says, no matter how old we are, our mission is to always be relevant to the next generation. And I wonder how many of us in the church really believe that. How many of us really believe that our mission is to be relevant to the next generation? The Barner Research did some research, and they said that out of all the people who come to church, all the families who come to church, about 80% of the children and young teens in those families will come to church with their family. About 80% will come with them on some kind of regular and consistent basis. But once they reach the latter years of high school, going into college, that number drops off. Out of that 80%, only 20% of that 80% will ever continue to come to church during those college years, those young adult years. Now, some of them will end up finding their way back, but a lot of them never do. And we're losing generations of young people, young adults, because the church is not relevant. And we're not doing things that are relevant in reaching them, making a mindset in reaching them. Now, first of all, let me say, I'm thankful for Destiny because that's not a problem here, okay? We're reaching them. And today, what I'm wanting to happen is to confirm in you the DNA of our church and where we're going, what we're doing, and why we're doing it, okay? And so you have a mission-minded statement with me. When we look at what Paul emphasized, it's very important that you realize that, okay, that's why we're doing it the way we're doing it. And this is why it's important that we do that. And I need to do a better job of connecting with that vision and helping reach the next generation. Paul was very, very clear. That's why we do the things we do. That's why we have teen ministries. That's why we have GAP, young adult ministries. That's why we do Kid Fest. That's why we do a lot of things. We're reaching the next generation. Look what Paul said to Timothy when he wrote him a letter in 2 Timothy. Let's pick it up in chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Look at his relationship. He says to Timothy, my dear son. Now, first of all, Timothy is not his son, okay? Timothy is not his biological son, but he was speaking. This is how close they had become in a relationship where he felt endeared enough to him. He could say, you know what? I love you as a son. A spiritual son, man, I love you as a father would love his son. Grace and mercy, peace from God the Father and Christ our Lord. I thank God for you, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience as night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayers. Wow, he's always praying for you. Look what he says, recalling your tears, I long to see you. I mean, this wasn't just Paul caring for somebody. But he says, when I left you, you were crying, man. That's how close they become. They had become so close. Paul says, the last time I left you, man, we were crying tears of separation, knowing that, you know, we're not going to be together. And I was training you, and there's going to be some time of separation. He goes, we cried some tears there. You're talking about guys being close. And he goes, man, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am what? Persuaded now also lives in you. Now, I want to give you three things today that Paul teaches us about the next generation. First of all, Paul teaches us that Paul cared about the next generation. He really, really cared about the next generation. We see it in his writing to Timothy. We see it in his endearment of his letters. We see it throughout his letters that he really cared about the next generation. Let me say this to you. We need here at Destiny Church, we need spiritual parents who are adopting the next generation. Not just youth ministries, not just young adult ministries, but we need spiritual parents who are adopting the next generation. That's all of us here. All of us. Some of you here, you're like, Pastor, I love what Destiny's doing. I love that my kids can come to this church. I love that my grandkids can come to this church, and they're excited about their relationship with God. and we applaud you. You wouldn't be here today if you were not supporting that. It's very obvious that you support our vision in reaching the next generation and the way we're doing things, the style of our worship, the presentation of the gospel, the things we're doing. We're trying to be conscious about reaching the next generation. And some of you here today, I applaud you. First of all, if you're under 30 years old, can you give these guys a hand? Say, I appreciate people. Yeah, come on. We appreciate those who support us and help do those things. But let me tell you, it's not a point where you say, you know what? You guys are doing it. I've been there. I've done that. I applaud you from back here. Go get them. No, you don't retire from ministry. You refire. Some of you have been retired, but you need to refire. And you need to enter into a new season of your life where you're adopting those younger than you and encouraging them. Where you're just simply loving on them. Take them out to eat. Bring them into your home. Cook them a meal. Just love on them. So there's a lot of college students that go here that maybe aren't living at home and they've moved here to go to college. They could use someone to open up their home and just love on them. There's other college students that are here and they don't have Christian parents. Maybe, and they could use some people who just simply support them. Or maybe you have there's some great Christian kids that come here, and they have good Christian parents. But sometimes it's nice just to hear from somebody else too. I can tell you a lot of my kids, my teenagers, that a lot of their friends, I talk to them, and they're like, wow, man, your parents, I tell my kids, your parents are so cool, man. They know where I'm at, and they talk to me. And it's like, you know, you ever get the feeling that your kids does friends like you better than your own kids? Sometimes it's kind of that way. You go through seasons of life. So it's okay sometimes to do that. It's okay to reach out to maybe some kids and think, well, they got Christian parents. No, just it takes us as a family reaching out and saying, yeah, we're reaching out to the next generation. Some of you need to reach out to some young married couples and say, listen, it's okay to struggle. It's okay to struggle in those first years of marriages. We've been there. We made the mistake. We wrote the book. You know, we know. We've been there. And we tell you, you can make it. Let me encourage you on how some things. We got some guys here that they reach out to some young men and say, listen, this is the way a man acts. This is the way a man works. This is the way a man treats a wife. This is the way we treat our children. This is what we do. We need some women who reach out to young women and encourage them to be the women of God. God's calling them to be. And it doesn't come just through a gap ministry or through a teen ministry. It comes when the church reaches out as a whole and says, yeah, we're looking out to the next generation. We're always looking for people to encourage. We're always looking for the next generation to speak life into. We're always looking to do this. I've been in places. I grew up in churches that said they loved young people. But there was nothing about their services that ever told me they loved me. Matter of fact, the services that were really foreign to me, I couldn't understand anything they were singing about. I couldn't understand anything they were teaching about. I couldn't understand anything they were doing. Pretty much it was way past what I was understanding. It's better caught than taught. And if you didn't catch it, you don't got it. You know what I'm talking about. And it was just out there, you know, and they get a lot of lip service. Well, we love you, but yet, you know, everything they told me was no. I was not good enough for God. God was not relevant in my life. So anybody know what I'm talking about? Because you were raised in those churches too, okay? Some of you were raised in that church. You know what I'm talking about. But we got to make sure, you know, I saw some pictures the other day, nobody who goes here, but somebody who goes to some other churches, and they were saying it was, you know, national, today was our annual youth-led service, and they had the youth lead the service, and they had some youth that were, you know, all wearing white shirts, taking up the offering. They had one young man come on stage, he was elected, and he had his hair all perfect, you know, and he had a white shirt on, a tie, dress shoes, and he had his Bible open, and he read a scripture out of the Bible. Everybody applauded for him. Yay, we support our youth! You know, and I was thinking, man, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, it's not that I'm putting that down, but what I'm saying, you know, reaching out to the next generation doesn't happen in one service. It's got to be in the DNA of who we are. It's got to be in the things that we do. And are we doing the things that are reaching the next generation? Are we staying relevant? We don't change the Word of God. The Word of God, the message of the cross never changes. The message of the Holy Spirit never changes. The message of repentance never changes. These things are the DNA. God is our healer, our redeemer. These things never change, but sometimes we got to change it up. We got to change up how we're presenting it. Sometimes we change it up. We can't get stuck on our songs because those songs are going to be old pretty soon. And we got to move on. We're always learning new songs. We're always introducing new things, and we're trying new presentations of the gospel. We're doing things that are relevant. We're speaking to every generation, not just one generation. We're not just going to speak to the generation who pays the bills. You know what I'm talking about? That's not it. I've always said, we're going to go for it, man. We're going to love people. We're a multiracial, multicultural, multi-generational church. And I thank God for it. And so it's in the DNA of who we are, and Paul understood this very clearly. He cared for the next generation. We see it in his writing. I mean, I can tell you, this is not just to point out one church in our community, because there were several churches in our community that did this. They had things planned on Friday night for the kids in the parking lots and other places outside, and then when the rain came, they canceled all of it. And I was thinking, you know, would it not kill you to come inside? But, you know, some of them probably didn't have the room, but some of them did. And it was more easy to cancel than it was to bring people into the church and worry about the kids getting your church dirty. What kind of message are we sending? That's why I love the fact that you guys get it. You get it here. That's why we tear our chairs down and we're not worried about rips of the carpet. We're not worried about people spilling something. Why? Because we're reaching a generation. We pull out the seats. We bring in all these fun games, and we're loving on our community, letting our kids come in, have a good time. No, you can't come in here. You've got on that, you know, you got that costume on. This is a hallelujah hold down, and you can't come in here. What's a hallelujah hold down? Don't answer that, please. Anyway. My staff will get in trouble if they answer that. Okay. But you know what I'm saying? It's, what I'm saying is this. Because this opens the doors and love on people. There was a friend of mine that was here. He's like, he doesn't go to church. You think you'll have all these people come back on Sunday? We had about 1,500 people come through the doors that night. It was awesome night. I was like, you know what? Majority of them will never come back right away, you know? I said, but it's okay because we're just doing the right thing. We're just simply loving on people. You know what? At some point in their life, they'll remember a church who loved them enough to open up the doors and let them come in and have a good time. And when they're ready to find a church home, I guarantee you a lot of them will come back. And some of you have come to that first, and now you're here several years later. Why? Because we simply open up a place and make room for the next generation. Even if it gets us dirty, even if it costs us time, even if it costs us money, we do that. It's about investing. Look at his scriptures here. 1 Timothy 4:13. He told Timothy, until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging believers, teaching them, emphasizing, I'm coming to meet with you. He said it again in 2 Timothy 4:9. He makes it very clear. Timothy, please come as soon as you can. I want to meet with you. I want to spend time with you. Look what he says in verse 21. Do your best to get here before winter. Isn't this like a parent right here? Do your best to get here before winter. You know, you can tell throughout his writings, he really liked spending time with him. He loved connecting with him. It was in Paul's DNA. He didn't just give a lip service, but he went out of his way. And it was a lot of sacrifice, but he knew that he had to invest and really care about the next generation. You know, the most effective influence in a young adult and teen's life is not the person who's the coolest. And some of you here, you're thinking, you know what, Pastor, you know, it's easy for you to say because, you know, you're kind of cool still. And I know, I can understand you saying that. But anyway, it's really not about being the coolest because I was a youth pastor for several years, 10 years in youth ministry before I ever became a pastor. And as far as doing a multi-church pastor like this, and I can tell you that I was around a lot of small youth groups and a lot of large, big youth groups. And I've seen a lot of different youth pastors and youth leaders. And I can tell you, some of the most effective ones were the people who wore socks with their sandals. They were wearing polyester when it wasn't cool. They'd been wearing it since the 70s, and they were wearing it in the 80s and the 90s. They just keep wearing it now so they come back in style. And, you know, they were some of the most irrelevant people you had ever met in your life. But they were like a magnet to young adults and teenagers. Why? Because they simply cared about them. You don't have to be cool. By Sunday the other day, we were arguing. I was like telling him about these shoes I wanted. I'm like, I want a certain kind of Cons that I like. And he's like, Cons? Cons? Dad, nobody calls them Cons. They're Converse or Chucks. I'm like, dude, you're not that fresh, really. I said, we called them Cons. I was wearing them back in the 70s and the 80s, long before you ever thought they're cool. I was wearing them. And you just if you're so cool, why are you copying our styles now? And I pulled the shoe off the show and showed him right there. I said, Cons, right on the little black circle. Cons is short for Converse, in case you hadn't figured it out. I said, you're wearing these skinny jeans. I said, before there were skinny jeans, we pegged our jeans. We did it the hard way. You're not that cool. Really? Before it was cool to wear flannel and combat boots, we were rocking the Nirvana. Doing it, baby. So don't even say, you know, you're not really that cool. You're just copying our style. It's not about who's the coolest, right? It's about, do you really care? Look at this statement right here. When a young adult or teen goes through a crisis, they will reach out to the one who really cared for them. Do you think when they go through something in their life and they reach out to somebody, they're going to reach out to the person who's dressed the best or the coolest? Come on. Well, that guy, he's got a mohawk. He's the coolest guy. I'm going to go ask him for advice. No! My son, the other day, they got the whole team dad's getting the mullets. You know, they're getting the whole team's getting the mullets. I'm like, we had the mullets. We did that back in the 80s, son. We had the mullets. I know what you're talking about. Oh, no. This is different. You know, it's kind of like, you know, not just a mullet, but it's like a mohawk mullet. You know, it's really short on the sides, and it comes down to the buzz cut. Yeah, we did that. I saw you walk in with one this morning right there. Yeah. We did that. They're not looking for the guy with the coolest haircut. They're looking for the person who cares for them. Nothing wrong with staying relevant. You know, I believe that. But when it comes down to it, people are going to reach out to people who really care for them. You want to have a right to speak into their life? Show them you care. You want to influence their life? Show them you care. Paul really cared for people. There's people here in this room. Some of our greatest leaders are people that I simply just sit down with them and, you know, and said, hey, I remember the first time I took Pastor T.G. out to lunch. The church was a lot smaller. He had just came to church, and we connected because we had a connection because we both grew up about 30 miles apart, and we had some commonality there. And so I took him out for lunch. I said, man, I see some great things in you. I see great potential in you, T.J. He's just playing basketball on the team. But I said, God's got a vision for your life, man. I see great things in your life, man. I could have come in and said, you know what? First of all, there's some things you need to change because you're on campus, living on campus, and, man, I know there's things you're doing that probably aren't the best things, you know. I could have asked Courtney, and she would have told me what I need to tell him, but I didn't do that. That's right. So, but you know what I did? I came in and simply said, I see greatness in you. I see the work of God in you. And the rest is going in history because we see what God has pulled out of him and her, and they're growing. My relationship with Pastor Joe and Jenny came when we just simply met because they needed someone to hear them. They were going through something in their life and ministry they wanted, needed an ear. And so we sit down and just had dinner and talked and heard them out. And now that grew into a relationship that we have now. Big Mike right here, he's here because we reached out to him when he was just a kid, man, and bust him into our youth ministry. And now, man, he's doing a great job as a father and a mentor. I love this. Johnny, a couple weeks ago, I'm like, hey, Johnny, man, you're better than this. And I spoke something to his life. He said, thanks, Pastor. I received that. Why? Because he knows I love him. You know, I look around, this room is full of people just like that. They know that I love them. And so I can speak into their life. And there's people in this room that you need to be speaking into their life, into their marriage, into them. And you just got to simply invest the time. It's not a ministry thing. I love what Ellen and Terry do, adopting foreign exchange students and taking them into their home, feeding them, showing them the love of God. Why? Because that's what God would do. That's what Paul did. That's what Jesus did. Jesus cared. Paul cared. Which brings us to our next point. Paul believed in the next generation. He simply believed in the next generation. He didn't just give it lip service. He really believed in the next generation. More than caring about them, he believed in them. Are you ready for the money ball? All right, get ready to write this down. This is important. Anyone can see people for where they are at, but a mature Christian can see people for who they can be. Anybody can see people for where they're at. I see you for where you're at. Boy, you're immature. Man, you've got a lot of mistakes. You've got a lot of growing up to do. Anybody, boy, you got yourself into a mess, haven't you? Wow, you've blown it, haven't you? Anybody can see people for where they're at. Listen, Sherlock, it doesn't take much to figure that out. We can open up our eyes and see where people are at. That's not a hard thing to do. But it takes somebody spiritually mature to see beyond their mess, to see beyond the immaturity, to see beyond where they're at and say, I see greatness in you. I see the great things of God in you. I see the potential, God-given potential you have, and call it out of them. That's what Paul was doing, baby. Timothy, you're timid, you're shy, but you know what? You're awesome. That's what we do. Like, you're timid, you're shy, but you're awesome. And he would pull things out of them. He could see beyond it. That's what Jesus did to Peter. Peter, man, everybody else sees you as a person who keeps putting his foot in his mouth, keeps messing up, but I see a rock. I see a rock, and upon this I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Ooh. I mean, if I was Pete, I would have took off charging hell with a squirt gun. Jesus would have looked at me and told me that, because Jesus could see beyond where Pete was at, and he saw where he was going. Even though Jesus knew Pete was going to fail him, even though Jesus knew Pete was going to deny him, he still saw the greatness. He saw what was going to happen on the day of Pentecost. He saw what was going to happen. He knew the greatness in him. As I look across this room, I don't see people who've blown it, but I see greatness of God in you. I see the greatness of God in every generation, and I want to call it out in you. We believe in you. God is going to do something in you and through you. Look what he says to Timothy in 4:12, 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Boy, he was addressing this, wasn't it? You sure Timothy was having this, you know? His grandmother and his mom were the spiritual giants, and now he's trying to step up and lead, and people are giving him a hard time. You're too young. Look at Paul's words to him. Don't let them think less of you. Don't let it shake you. And then what does he say? Then he speaks right into him. Hey, don't worry about that. Sit up. All right, listen. And then he says, hey, be an example to all believers. Not just your generation, but to all believers. In what you say, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, in your purity. He was saying, hey, don't worry about all that. Just live it, man. I see greatness in you. And he called them out to that greatness. And he said, listen, you can do better. You can do better. Do it, man. I see it in you and call it out of you. I think all this generation is needing is somebody to believe in them and call the greatness out of them. And let God do what he wants to do in their life. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7, look what he says. It is for this reason I remind you to fan the flame. Fan into flame. The gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. I think that, you know, this is the question we have to ask ourselves when we read this scripture. Do we fan the flame, or do we pour water on the flame? I've been around way too many people that carried around the spiritual water hose. Someone starts the flame up. Wait, 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 you're not ready yet. Shh. Wait, 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 you're not mature enough yet. Shh. Hey, wait, 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 you blew it. Shh. Wait, 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 wait. Your reputation's horrible. Shh. I know what you did. Shh. Always putting out fires. Says, what's God made you, the spiritual fireman? He said, come on, fan the flame. We're called to be spiritual fans that seek greatness in people. We see a spark. We say, yeah, yeah, that's it. I see that spark. Mo, I see that spark in your eyes. I see that spark in your spirit. I see the great things of God. You can do better. You can do more. I see greatness in you. And Mo responds to that because he wants a man to look him in the eyes and say, you can do it. And there's other people in this room, you're looking the same way because you need someone to come along and fan the flame of God in you. Let's be people who come along and breathe. Let's breathe. Let's fan the flame. Let's be big fans. Let's end up being the DNA. I don't care what age you are. I don't care if you're a senior, if you're in the middle of your life, or you're a new Christian. Let's be people who fan the flame, encouraging people. Let's fan the flame, the gift that God has put in people. I believe that as the pastor of this church, it's my job to call out to every generation the greatness of God in them. Not this just generation, but the next generation after them and the generation after them. We're called to fan the flame. Because I thank God that someone believed in me. Somebody believed in me when I didn't have my act all together. I remember when I was first giving my heart to Christ and I feel called to do something for God, but I didn't know what to do. The church wasn't making room for me, so the only thing I needed to do was to go to Bible college because there was no training in the church. How sad was that? The one place that needed to be training me. I had to leave and go into an institution that was all about book knowledge. And really what I was needing more than anything was hands-on practical training. Not against Bible college, but you really learn when you just get your hands dirty. You learn by getting in there. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. You guys went to college, and you didn't start learning until you started your internships. Once you started your internship, you're like, oh, okay, this is what they meant. This is hands-on learning. And the church didn't make any room for me. So I had to go away and try to find it. I went away to college, and I went on the campus. I'm like, wow, I don't really fit here. I questioned everything that was going on. I was voted most likely to be kicked out of Bible college. That's me, yeah. I question things all the time. Like, what do we do this for? Why are you guys, that's weird. Why are you doing this? That really makes no sense. You want students to come here, but you put all these things on them, rules and regulations, and it makes no sense. You know, and I was questioning everything. I questioned professors in class, and yeah, I was that guy. But somehow they laughed me through it. And they, you know, I had one or two who really believed in me and encouraged me and spoke over me. I had someone who believed in me and took a chance on me and let me mess up. Let me get in, get my feet wet, and just kept, every time I messed up, say, it's all right, just keep trying. Just keep trying. Just stay in there. It's okay. You're going to mess up. It's okay. We believe in you. We believe in you. I wouldn't be here today if somebody hadn't taken a chance on me. That's why at Destiny, we're going to continue to be multi-generational. I love the fact that we're multicultural and multi-generational. I love that. I love the fact that on any given Sunday, Pastor TJ could be speaking. In his 20s, he's up here speaking, sharing the word. Pastor Justin speaks sometimes. He's in his 30s, sharing the word. When I speak, I'm barely in my 40s. And I'm sharing the word. Pastor Tom joins me from time to time. He's pushing the 50 number back there, Pastor Tom. It doesn't make a difference. On Father's Day, we had multi-generations on stage. I love the fact that we have multi-generations leading our ministries. It's just not, well, you got to wait. You got to wait. You got to wait. You got to wait. And then they leave the church because we made no room for them. So I love the fact that you guys are opening up your hearts, you're receiving, and you're behind me. But what I'm saying is this, it's got to be the DNA of who we are, that we are constantly reaching out to the next generation and loving them, making room for them. So where's the start? Well, first of all, we got to realize this. Paul knew his time was limited. Number three, Paul knew his time was limited. James describes our time as a vapor. He says, our life is like a vapor. Bam, it's gone when it's compared to eternity. 2 Timothy 2:2, look what Paul writes to Tim. He says, hey, Tim, you've heard me teach the things that have been confirmed by many reliable, I like that word, reliable witnesses. not just to buy a bunch of fruits and nuts. He said this. He goes, these people are reliable. They understand. He goes, now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. So you've heard me teach. Now you find trustworthy people and you teach them who will teach others. It sounds like to me Paul was saying that we are to be generational. Paul was saying we should always be reaching out and training and empowering the next generation. The day that Destiny Church thinks that it has reached its potential and say we've reached our generation, the day we'll die. The day we'll take one step toward dying. We got to continually be a people, a body of believers who is always reaching the next generation. 2 Timothy 4:6, look what he says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. As for me, my life has already been what? Poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. He knew his time was coming to an end. He knew that it was just a matter of time before they martyred him, and he knew that his time was coming. And so he's like, you know what? I have lived my life poured out as an offering to God. I thought, that's what I want people to say about me. I want people to say, you know, it wasn't how big his church got, wasn't how big this happened or how many things. I want people to say he poured out his life into other people. He poured out his life into ministry for other people, loving people, poured out his life into other people. This is what we're called to be. Paul says that I pour my life out into others. So where do we start? First of all, we start by realizing that we've got to answer this question. What are you doing? What are you doing to invest in the next generation? Everyone in this room, we need to be answering this question for ourselves personally. What are we doing to invest in the next generation? If you're a parent today and you have kids living at home, you start with this inside your house first. First thing I do is I got to invest in my own kids, right? I got to make sure I'm spending adequate time with them, that I'm giving them adequate time and attention, investing, calling out greatness in our kids. Listen, it's easy, parents, to call out the bad things because we live with them. We see how messy their room can be. We can see them blowing off homework. We can see them doing things on a daily basis that drive us crazy. We're like, you've got to change this before you become a responsible adult. And it's easy sometimes to focus on all those things, but sometimes we got to work at calling out the greatness in them. And beyond all that disorganization, I see the greatness of God. Beyond the lack of focus right now, I see a woman or a man who's going to be focused in on some great things. And we've got to call out the greatness out of our own children. Spend time with them. Invest in them. We need to be investing in other people. There's a younger generation going here that needs people to reach out and love them, to adopt them. You! Well, I'm not in the youth ministry. I'm not in GAP. Who cares? We're the body of Christ. If you don't know, if you look for somebody, just say, hey, man, can I take you to lunch? Can we just take you out once in a while and just adopt you and just love on you and buy you lunch? I guarantee you buy them lunch, they will be there. They love it. And just listen to them and just speak positive things into their life. Look for young married couples that you can say, hey, listen, we know what it is to struggle. We just want to be here for you. If you ever have a question or need someone to support you, we're here. Matter of fact, how about we meet once a month and do a date night where we just go out and talk? Would that be okay? I guarantee you that they would love that, having somebody who can speak into their life and they can ask questions and talk about the struggles they're having. If you don't know somebody, ask Pastors Joe and Jenny, hey, is there some teens that could use spiritual adoption, man, that could just use encouraging? I guarantee they can give you somebody. Ask Pastor TJ and Courtney, is there some college-age students that could use someone to adopt them that can give you some names of people? But let's reach the next generation. I want to close with this statement. As I put this together, I thought, this is really who we are. We're already doing this, okay? But I just want to put it into clarity so that we all are on the same page and we all know this is who God's calling us to be as Destiny Church. Destiny Church is a multi-generational church. That means we are a church for all generations. All generations worship here. We welcome all generations, young and old. We want to minister to young and old. Destiny Church is a multi-generation church who reaches the next generation. That's who we are in the DNA. We're a multi-generation church who is reaching, who reaches the next generation. God forbid that ever says reached. It needs to be reaches or is reaching, because it should be in the DNA. Pastor TJ's helping me reach his generation right now. But you know what? He's going to be a daddy real soon. Bottom line is, he's getting closer to 30 than he is 20. And what I'm saying is this, is that he's going to make a clear effort to make sure he's reaching the next generation and teaches them how to reach the next generation. It's succession. We always are reaching the next generation, and we're teaching others how to do that. And it doesn't make a difference. Your age doesn't make a difference whether you think you're hip or not. It has nothing to do with it. It's all about your heart of saying, I want to reach the next generation. I want to speak life into them. I want to connect with them. Let me say again, I appreciate your heart. I know you guys are behind me today, and I'm preaching to the choir, because you guys, by your actions, I know that you are behind what I'm saying. But I want to bring clarity, because this is a common theme in Paul's letters. I want to bring clarity and realize this makes sense, Pastor. You helped me put into articulate today who we are as a church. So yeah, we're a multi-generational church who's always reaching the next generation. And you're committed to helping us do that. I know that. This is what I want to do today. I'm going to invite, if you're in junior high or high school, I want you to join me in the front today. I would just like to pray for you. All my junior high and high school students, can you join me here at the front of the steps? I would greatly appreciate it. Come on, give me a hand clap. What a great looking bunch of students. Come on in, guys. Squeeze around the front. You guys can kind of scoot to your left a little bit. Make a little room here. There you go. Plenty of room over here. Yeah, you go, guys. As they're coming, it's welcome. I want our young adults, too. If you're in 18 to 25, come on up and join us. Stand behind them, if you wouldn't mind. Just stand behind them, 18 to 25. There you go. Squeeze in right behind these guys. There you go. Squeeze in a little bit to the left. Here, Johnny, bring those guys this way just a little bit there. Make a little room. There you go. I prayed for another group just like this in the first service, about the same size. So we got a lot of young people in our church, and we love you. We love you, every one of you. Here in just a minute, the pastoral staff, I'm going to invite some of our life group leaders as well to come up and join us and help me pray this morning. Anybody in our youth staff as well, or GAP staff, we want to invite you to help us join us pray as well. But we just want to pray for you. I want to pray for you today. I just want to tell you that we love you very much. And as I look out, man, I see greatness. I see greatness in every one of you. I don't see you for any mistake you've made, okay? I can tell you that myself and there ain't a person sitting out there that hasn't blown it times in their life, okay? Nobody's perfect. We've all blown it. But what we all want you to know is we see beyond where you're at right now. And I want to say we see greatness in you. We see greatness in you. We want to call it out of you, the great things of God. Ladies, I just say, man, you're beautiful. Every one of you are beautiful. God's gift. And as a father and a spiritual father, I can't tell you how much I love you and beautiful you are. I want God's best for you. It makes me mad if I see anybody trying to break your heart, because it's a valuable thing. Protect it. Don't give it up easy. Don't give your heart up to anybody easy. Value your heart. It's a treasure. young men in this room, man, I look at you and I say, man, I see great things of God in your life. You're better. You're better than where you're at. I'm calling out those things of God in your life. God's called you to be greatness in this room. Man, I look at this room and I'm so full of overwhelmed thinking of the potential of what God's doing in this room. We love you. As a congregation, we love you. We're just going to lay hands on you. We just want to pray a blessing over your life today. Can you stand with me and just point your hands this way as some of the leaders are going to come? We just want to lay hands and just pray for you today. We just want to speak God's blessing over your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every young person in this room, God. Right now, Father, I call out the things of God in their life. God, I speak, Lord, greatness of God would come out of them. God, they're beyond any mistake. And God, you see them as valuable members of the kingdom of God. Let no man look down upon their youth. We don't. We value them. We see the greatness of God in them. And God, we speak over their life right now in Jesus' name. We speak over their life great things of God in Jesus' name. Great women of God. Great men of God. And God, they will not conform to the image of this world, but God, they will walk in boldness. God, they will walk in boldness, God, in the things of God. God, they're better. They're better than where they are. And God, they're rising to a higher level because, God, you have not given them the spirit of fear. You have not given them the spirit, Father, of timid. But God, you are calling boldness out of them, great things out of them. And God, we speak over them right now. Jesus' name. Lord, I call greatness of God out of them. God, the things of God out of them. God, we won't give our heart over to somebody foolish, but God, we'll save it for the right man. We won't give our life over to people who are not worthy of our time, but God, we'll save it for people who speak life over us, who value us. And God, I speak right now that the great things of God, ministers, pastors, worship leaders, missionaries, workers, doctors, teachers, God, there's people in this room who are going to make a difference in this community and around this world. Father, right now, we pray and call out over them the things of God in their lives. Holy Spirit, be full in their life today. God, calling out good things in their life today. God, straightening out right now. Lord, the places of being empty, the places of feeling rejected, those who are cutting right now, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. That spirit of cutting and self-deception would stop in the name of Jesus. I speak life over you. I speak joy over your life right now in the name of Jesus. It will stop in Jesus' name. Father, right now, that person who's struggling with addiction in their life, Lord, I pray right now that, Father, those chains of addiction be broken in Jesus' name. Father, right now, that you would speak life into them. That, God, they are better. They are better. They are better. They are better. They are sons and daughters of the King. And, God, we pray and call out the things of God over their life this morning. Greatness. They are not scarred by anything in their past. They are not scarred by anything that's happened to their parents. But, God, right now, you're calling them to walk in greatness. You're calling them to walk in their God-given destiny. And God, we speak over them right now in Jesus' name, God. Young mothers, young wives, young husbands will be pillars. Pillars in their family, in their church, in their community. God, you're going to use them to be your light, your beacon. Father, giving them wisdom beyond their years. Father, in the name of Jesus. On their college campuses, God, they'll be a light. In their team, they'll be a light. In their workplace, they'll be a light. Because you're calling them to greatness. Calling out of them the things of God. And we say it in Jesus' name. Come on, let's close this course. I invite you, come on, let's just raise your hands to God. I give you all of my life today. I give you all my life.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Of heaven, let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven.
Church, as you can see, We can't do this alone. Gap can't do this. Illuminate can't do this alone. It's going to take us as a church body, all of us. I need some grandmas and grandpas. I need some aunts and uncles. Some big brothers, big sisters. Spiritual parents to come along and help us. Love. Love and reach the next generation. It's who God's called us to be. How many say, Pastor, we're behind you and we're doing this 100%. Come on, put your hands together. You believe that today? Hey, I love every one of you here up the front. So I love you very much. Thank you for coming and allowing Destiny to be your home. We love you. We believe in you. We believe in you. Turn and give someone a high five and say, man, God is good. Give them a high five. Say, God is good. God bless you guys. You have a great afternoon.